Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is Thursday, and we thank and praise the Lord for Thursday. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad that you tuned in. I trust that you done had a glorious and a victorious week so far, because guess what? Jesus is still on the throne. Yes, he is. God is still doing and fulfilling every promise that he made to each and every one of us, even though it's a lot of things happening on this earth. But I'm so glad, according to Malachi, God said, I am God and I change not. He tells us in Numbers that the word that go forth out his mouth, that he watching over his word. He told Jeremiah that he was watching over his word to perform it. And he tells us in Numbers that God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. So whatever promise right now that you are standing on, continue to stand. The Bible tells us in the evil days that we got to stand. We got to stand there for. In the book of Hebrews, it talk about and when bad time or evil time is among us, we have to stay steadfast in the faith. You know, Pastor Jenkins wrote this song, and it blessed me so many times. Even now, I think about it, keep the faith. And I'm telling you, I think all of us as believers is have to fight the good fight of faith. Things are happening on this earth that, you know, well, the Bible said it, but, you know, I found out this a long time ago. I believe and trust the Bible now, what God said, more than I ever did in my life. You know, when I first began reading the Bible, so a lot of things the Bible said were going to take place in my circle, in my surrounding, it wasn't taking place. But I have found out after, God done graced us to live a little while, it's the old saying, say, I'm seeing that Bible unfold and being fulfilled. And I just thank and praise the Lord for allowing us to live and see what we're seeing. I've been talking about, and I'm going, if you weren't with us on Monday, we're going to continue. We was talking about Paul was wrestling with his flesh. And if you go to, I'm going to go back to Romans 6th chapter, and I'm going to read that, and we're going to go into 7th chapter. But then we going to also go on. A lot of saints is wrestling with their soul, and they don't realize it. My soul is consist of my mind, will, and emotion. I'm a spirit with three-point being, tri-being, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And if you don't, it's the word of God that helped us that David to dissect and rightly desire the word, you know. And I struggled with this battle for a long time, and even Apostle Paul struggled. When you read, and I thank God for the apostle epistles, Apostle Paul had an awesome revelation. You know, when you study his epistle, you can see the revelation that God had graced him with. Now, if you go to Ephesians, the first chapter, when Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray, he's about the only one that I have found out in his epistles, he even write about the prayers that he was inspired to pray. And one of them in Ephesians was, he said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. Then he going to say that you may know that the same spirit, The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of us. He even prayed in the third chapter, Ephesians, he talked about that we may be strengthened in our inner man by the Spirit of God, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. You know, and even in Colossians, Philippians, he had certain prayers that he was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pray. But if I stated he had an awesome revelation that, about the things of God, well, he the one that said the things of God was a mystery. And he would tell me how the things God had to unfold it. He had to reveal it to us through the Holy Spirit. But there, too, again, we're going to go on and pray again. A lot of time, as I stated, we pray before we come on the air. Father, I just want to say thank you for this glorious day. I want to thank you for healing our body. I thank you, Father, for bringing fresh manna. You're giving us fresh manna, knowledge, understanding, and revelation pertaining to your word. I thank you for those that have tuned into the broadcast. And, Father, I trust these people to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome to cause me to decrease, that you may increase in me. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will be released over the airways to bring enlightenment and understanding to those that have tuned in. I decree that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord over this broadcast. I decree the Lordship of Jesus over the airways. I decree in Jesus' name the Lordship of Jesus over the airways. I thank you, Ereba Sandeleke. Father, I just praise you and I bless you for the authority that we have in Jesus' name. And I thank you in the name of Jesus, every spirit, every principality, you are subject to the Lordship of Jesus. You are subject. You have to bow. I forbid you would not interfere in this broadcast. You would not bring disturbance or detraction to the ones that have tuned in. And I praise you that, Father, your word will be released with power. I thank you and I praise you. The anointing that is upon this word that you have given us to give to your people, it would destroy the yokes. I decree that yokes will be destroyed, burden will be moving, the heaviness will be removed from the people. They will be able to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I just thank and praise the Lord again for this day. This is a glorious day. And I had to learn, and I'm still finding out, because the things of God is the ongoing, a continued. You don't get it overnight, but listen, it don't take you number of years to get it. I found out the more that you draw nigh to God, the more that you seek him and want to know about him, God will reveal himself to us even more. And I just thank and praise the Lord for it right now. And like I said, I'm going back to Romans. I'm going back to Romans, the sixth chapter. And like I said, Apostle Paul was struggling. He was struggling in his flesh. And Apostle Paul was trying to understand, since I don't have a sin nature anymore, why is I'm still struggling when it comes down to what I want to do right and I find myself not doing it. Now, if you read the first 8-9 chapters of Romans, you're going to find out that Paul was struggling with his flesh, because he had to come to the realization that even though I don't have a sin nature, what is it about me that I find myself, when I wanted to do evil, when I wanted to do right, I was finding myself still doing evil. Now, you got some of the saints, and as God brought this to me, because a lot of saints is battling with their soul, and they don't realize that they have something to do. And that's why, y'all, you know, it used to be, I used to hear old saints say, don't scramble the fence. Some people haven't really accepted the fact that Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not something that you just do on Sunday or when you feeling like you want to live. I'm going to live right today. And then I used to say this myself, And I had to learn to change my confession, because Christianity is not saying, like, well, this day I'm just going to have me a flesh day. This day I'm going to do me. It never supposed to be a time that you do you. You a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I had to learn that as I continue to walk with the Lord, it ain't no such thing on and off. I don't have, you see, yeah, Saint said, well, honey, if you make me upset, I'm going to lay my religion down, I'm going to pick it up. You do not do that. You're not supposed to do that in a relationship. A husband and wife, if they truly accept their vows and believe and trust in their vows, their husband or wife can say, well, today I want to be single. Tomorrow I take up my right as being a husband or wife. It don't work that way. And when you come to be a Christian and accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, as Paul says, no more you that live. You've been crucified with Christ. You know, it's all about him now. Christianity, as I say so many times, that it is a relationship with the Lord. But like I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to bring us up as the Lord allow us. And in that second verse, what Paul was talking to them about sin, and they were saying in the third verse, since God have given us grace, he said we should not continue in sin so that grace may abound or be multiplied. But what he was telling them about the lifestyle, and I hear so many people saying that now, well, since I got grace, I can continue in sin. Grace is not a license to sin, you know. It's not a license, and don't let nobody tell you. If you truly get a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about grace, God is not telling you to continue to sin. But like I said, if you read the whole entire chapters of Romans, you will find God had to give mankind, a humanity, his power and change his sinful nature in order for mankind to walk in or obey God. But, you know, so like I said, he said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul will argue with them and send them straight that it's not true. God, it is not God's will for you to keep on sinning because of grace. And like I said, Paul let them know, for one translation, he said, absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? You know, but he was trying to show them, once you get born again, you have a new identity. And I found out we have to learn how to identify ourselves in Christ and how to do that. But the point I wanted to make was that if we continue to sin, it's because we don't forget about our true identity. And then he even go down, I'm going to read a little bit of notes. The fundamental issue here is one of our identity. Anyone who say that salvation make him free to sin have totally misunderstood his new identity in Christ. When we battle sin, we used to try to do it in our own power, fighting the flesh with the flesh. But there too, again, Paul was trying to get them to understand it don't work. Also, when you read this epistle in Rome, he's writing to Christians. All the epistles, when you get out of Acts and go into the epistles, they is revealing to us who we are in Christ, how we supposed to conduct ourselves while we on this earth. It revealed to us our enemy as well as it revealed to us God. And there too, again, a lot of saints is wrestling with their soul and don't realize it. You know, when I hear people being depressed and people all stretched out, you dealing with your soul. And that's why the Bible tells us that you have to daily get in God's word and keep your mind renewed and continue to meditate on what God's word say. Now, there too, again, as I stated, like I said, I don't want to go back over a lot of these scriptures. I'm just trying to bring you up to part. Like I said, we don't have a sin nature anymore. I'm going to go into the seventh chapter where I'm going to really stop. In Romans, the seventh chapter, And I'm reading some things from a commentary because I've been studying this thing because I was just like, what in the world going on here? He said in that Romans the 7th chapter and that 17 to 18 verse, he said, here we get the heart of the problem. Paul struggled because he was still in the flesh. And like I said, Paul had to come to grips. Okay, I don't have a sin nature, but I still have my flesh, and my flesh have desires. Remember, we even went in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, how Apostle John was telling the people, if you is a Christian, if you truly been born again, you don't continue to practice sin. I hope I'm making myself clear. If you truly been born again, I want you to hear me. If you truly done accept Jesus, your Lord, and say, you is not going to continue to practice sin. In other words, you ain't going to enjoy sinning. Now, you need to realize that we all miss it. We all sometimes sin, but we should not enjoy it. If you walk around here and you can fornicate, you can backbite, you can walk around here and tell me I hate so-and-so, you need to really go back and examine yourself. Because according to 1 John, the 2nd chapter, he was telling them, Apostle John was telling them, a believer don't continue in sinning. They don't keep sinning. And he that word, T-H, he was talking about they don't continue, they don't practice. You're not supposed to, as a born-again believer, if somebody offend me, and I find myself want to meditate on it, and I find myself experience of rejection, I find bitterness trying to come in, or jealousy trying to come in, it don't make me happy. It don't give me peace. I feel bad about it, you know, because the Holy Spirit will convict me. You're not supposed to be continuing to operate in that mindset. But see, a lot, this was, Paul came to grips that I still had my flesh. I'm going to read a little bit. Paul struggled because he was still in the flesh and nothing good lived in him. Even though our old self was crucified with Christ, the flesh is not. Our sin nature was put to death, but our flesh remained active. Our sin nature was like a factor that produced unrighteousness even in sin. When we came to Christ, however, God shut the factor down, which is sin. He solved the problem. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Now, I don't have that drive or those strong desires to do drugs or to walk around in bitterness and fornicating and doing all of that stuff. That is gone. That power that you, before I came with Christians, that would drive me. You know, when you had that sin nature, it'll drive you. It'll just drive you. But once you get born again, yeah, the enemy still will try to put pressure on you. But because we don't have that sin nature, we have the authority to bring our flesh desires in total submissive to the Lordship of the Trinity. And this is what Paul found out, and that's what I wanted to show you. I wanted to show you in the Word that when we come to Christ, our identity changed. And some saints have an identity Christ. I used to have one too. But once I came into the knowledge and understand, okay, the reason why when somebody mistreat me, I can sense sometimes I have a tendency to want to take vengeance. But then I have that tendency. That's that flesh. That's your flesh, the outward man. You know, that's why you got some saints. You find yourself when somebody mistreats you, you struggle with unforgiveness. And the reason why, because flesh don't want to forgive. You find yourself when God tells you to love. You see, as a born-again believer, we are commanded to love. Now, just because you love somebody, that don't mean you like what they're doing. You know where I'm coming from? And even as I was studying about love, we done put love, we done really water love down. I love chocolate cake. I love my clothes. I love my automobile. That ain't the way. That ain't what God's talking about. And that's why it's so important that we need to let the Holy Spirit define and help us to understand how God defined his words. But there too, again, as I continue to talk about Apostle Paul, when he found out about his flesh, he found out that that's what it is. No, I don't have a sin nature, but my flesh desires and tendency is still there, but I have authority over it. I do not have to yield to it. That's why Apostle Paul was saying, and even in 1 Corinthians, he said, casting down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. I have the authority, I have the ability, the power to, these fleshy desires, I can cast them down. These thoughts that want to come, when vengeance thoughts want to rise up in my mind because somebody done mistreated me, going around talking, lying on me, whatever. When them thoughts try to come in, I can cast them down. I can take precedent over those thoughts by the authority in Jesus' name. I can replace them. Before, when I wasn't saved, I couldn't do that. You know where I'm coming from? But this the thing, a lot of people, you still have your soul. And like I said, that's your mind, will, and emotion. You have authority now over your soul that you don't have to let your emotion take you to a place. Come on, somebody, that causes you freaking out, causing you, you know, people can hurt you. I want you to hear me. I've been there. I have been so hurt that it seemed like I was just numb. And even as a born again believer, I experienced this over 30 years ago. But I found out that when God told me to forgive, to let go of it, I could do it. Come on, somebody. My point, I'm trying to show you that it, with the help of the Holy Ghost, that you still got your flesh to deal with. That's why Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, if you continue and be consistent and meditate on what God's word says about your situation or what God said about unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment, gossip, and backbite, then you can be able to do what God said. It will keep your flesh in its place. Remember, Paul made a statement a long time ago. He said, I keep my body under subjection. That was the spirit man talking. He said, I keep my body under subjection that when I don't preach to others, I won't be a castaway. Paul found out that I have the authority. I can keep my flesh desires that is contrary to what God said. I can keep it under. And Apostle John, even when I think it's 1 John, the second chapter, he also went into and telling the people that when you operating in the world, he said, love not the world. He told him, he said, don't love this world, because if you love in the world, if you allow yourself to be conformed to this world system, guess what? He said, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. He was trying to tell the saints how to walk in the Spirit so they can control or dominate their flesh desires. And that's what I'm saying right now. You can control your flesh desires. You can control your mind, your will, and your emotion. You can cause your mind and will and emotion to line up with the Word of God. Remember Jesus said, when Jesus even prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, his flesh, the outward man, he was counted in a balance. Yes, he was, because that's why he said, he asked the Father, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup of death pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, my will, but let thy will be done. Even though he know he came to die, but his flesh, the outward man, just like all the rest of us, he wanted to rise up and dictate. But Jesus began to pray. And that's why he even told them disciples. He said, pray that you don't enter a yield to temptation. And a lot of times when temptation show up, I'm telling you, if you don't know what the word say, if you ain't rooted in the word, your flesh going to rise up. I'm a mother. I have two grown children. My oldest child, Art Tabor, her birthday will be coming up in October the 1st. She'll be 50. My son, he'll be 48, his birthday. My point is showing you this here. When people mistreat my children, even if I know they're dealing with something, something bothering them, the motherhood in me, it disturb it. It'll disturb my peace. But I have to bring it back on and say, wait a minute. Now, they married. They got spouse. No, I don't agree with everything that they have to deal with or whatever. But what I can do, I have to roll that care on the Lord, 1 Peter 5:7. I'm just giving you, I'm just being transparent a little bit to kind of give you an example of how the flesh will try to interfere and try to cause us to go trigger what God says. You know, when my son got married, some of the things were going on with him and my daughter-in-law, I didn't like. My daughter and her, I didn't like. But I had to say, wait a minute. First of all, they married. Second of all, even though I disagree, but God forbid me to get in there and bring division in Christ. So what I had to do, I had to roll that care upon the Lord and trust God with it. God commanded me to love their spouse. God commanded me to pray for them. And see, and when I lined up with that, that brought my flesh in total alignment with God and rolling the care upon him and let him handle it. It was time. And see, a lot of time our flesh, when something bad happened to us, our flesh want to dwell on it. Come on, somebody. You would take them thoughts. You would try to reason it, try to find a satisfied way to solve the problem. And this what's happening. You got to realize that's your flesh at work. And you need to cast them things down. And like I said, this what happened to Apostle Paul. But when Apostle Paul came to the knowledge and understanding, okay, I don't have a sin nature, but I still have my flesh desires to deal with. And sometimes when we've been mistreated, as Paul found out, your soul will cry, vengeance, 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 vengeance. It'll cry bitterness, resentment. Come on, son. I ain't going to mess with them no more. I ain't going to even communicate. I don't even want to. That's your soul. That's it coming from the outward man, and it's coming through yourself. And that's when you have to say, no, that ain't the will of God. God told me to forgive. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to pray for them like God told me. No, I am not going to let bitterness or resentment dominate me. I was looking at one of my notes, and in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 15th verse, it talk about bitterness. And I wrote some notes. It said, like a small root. This is what happened with bitterness. Like a small root that grow into a great tree, bitterness sprang up in our heart and overshadowed even our deepest Christian relationship. A poison root of bitterness. Now listen, this is how bitterness comes. Listen, a root of bitterness comes when we allow, listen, why allow? Because you don't have to. When we allow disappointment to grow into resentment and disappointment, you got some things right now. You disappointed at God. You disappointed maybe with somebody in your life. Or you just generally disappointed with life because you done prayed about somebody, some things, and things didn't turn out the way that you reasoned it would. Come on, somebody. But I had to learn through studying God's word, when I roll a kill God, God choose the way he going to solve the problem. And see, the outward man, when you don't, you ever done prayed about something and you trying to figure out how God going to work it out, how God going to solve that problem? Come on, somebody. That is not your responsibility, but that's what flesh does. Flesh, that's the flesh of love to try to solve it the way it wanted to be solved. And when God don't take the route that you and I want him to do, if you ain't rooted and grounded in the word, and if you haven't identified yourself with Christ, guess what? You'll sit around and you'll be mad, you'll be pouting, you'll withdraw in your mind. You'll be discussing this thing, and in the midst of discussing, you'll open yourself up for bitterness and resentment. And we got a lot of saints because of a lack of knowledge. Come on, somebody. It might not make you feel good, but it's the truth. You don't allow disappointment to grow into resentment, or when we nurse grudges over past hurt, bitterness, bring with it jealousy, dissension, immorality. And guess what? When all of that show up, you're not walking in love. The Bible, God command us as believers to love. And y'all, in the hour we living in, I'm telling you, it can, listen what I'm saying, it can be hard to love. But if you are born again believer and you meditate, now no, God's the love. I got the love. And if I don't walk in the love of God, it gonna affect or hinder my faith. You said, forget this. You'll bring your faith. No, I ain't doing that. I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna treat them nice. Cause I'm telling you, as a mother, I have seen my children get hurt by certain people, and in my flesh, you know what? You could tell when you get some in your heart against people. And I had to say, wait a minute, with the help of those, and you can't do that. And I'm telling you, we got a lot of things. You dealing with your flesh, and you don't understand why I know I'm saved, but why I'm finding myself from time to time wrestling with unforgiveness, wrestling with bitterness, resentment, and all of that stuff. That's your flesh, and it's your responsibility to bring it under total submission to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to take you somewhere. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians, and Paul was dealing with carnal-minded Christians. Yes, he was dealing with them. They were new believers, but they was operating in their flesh. And that's why he called them carnal-minded Christians. When you and I allow our flesh to dominate us, to control us, and one way you know that it's your flesh is when you going contrary to everything God told you to do. I don't know about nobody else. I can tell when flesh want to take charge in my life. Based upon, I can tell it. Like I made with being transparent with sometimes my children going through in the past. And I mean, it would be a strong desire. You know, that ain't, now you need to go set some. You need to get involved in this. But I learned through the word, that's not my responsibility. If the Holy Spirit don't lead me to say nothing, I don't supposed to say nothing. I pray for them. And see, this is what some saints don't understand. You know, if I'm saved, why I have the tendency to want to do things contrary? And this is what Paul was saying in Romans the 7th chapter. Since I'm saved, why I find it? Because that's that flesh there. They still want to act crazy. That's why John said, don't love this world. But when you love in this world, if you ain't careful, and Paul said it wrong, don't be conformed to this world. You got to get your mind renewed, because if you ain't renewed your mind, when certain things happen to you, your flesh going to want, you're going to want to go back to that old way of doing it the way you used to do it. And the way we used to do it before we got saved, God did not like it, and he's not in agreement with it. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and I'm a reader from the King James Version. I'm in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. He said, our brethren could not speak unto you unto spiritually, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. And when you see that word carnal a lot of times, what it's talking about, it's talking about flesh, people of the flesh. You got people that's not saved, they are driven by their flesh. They just do what, if they got to say, they just do what flesh says. Flesh, I want to cuss somebody out, they just go cuss them out. Flesh, I'm going to take vengeance, I'm just going to take vengeance. Well, they have a sin nature, and they don't have no control over it. But the difference is I still have my flesh, and my flesh still want to go contrary to what God's word say. But I have the authority. I don't have to do it. I'm still going to have temptation. All of us going to have them. Paul tried to tell them that. He said, who all humans have to deal with temptation. All of us in temptation, when you really look at temptation for what it really, temptation is just the enemy drawing you or trying to pull you away from living and doing what God wants you to do. Anytime you tempted to sin, what that's doing, that's drawing you away for what God wants you to do. Apostle James said that you attempted when you attempted your own love, you know, it's just like with overeating. You know, you hear a lot of people say you got to use moderation. I agree with that, but guess what? It come down to just discipline yourself. You're not supposed to overeat because that's a sin. And overeating can harm your body if you ain't careful. And sometimes, like I said, I'm tempted. Have you ever overeat? Yeah, I done did it before. But I had to learn, if I don't use temperance, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. If you don't learn to control and discipline yourself in little things, you won't be able to do it in big things. If you can't take control or discipline yourself when it comes down to eat, guess what? It's going to be easy for you when you get angry to sin. It's going to be easy for you to allow jealousy to control you. And if you can discipline or use self-control in small things, well, you can do it in big things as well, because it'll roll over in that area. But Paul was saying, he said, our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritually, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you was not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He come out fleshly. Because they were having a problem. Some was exalted, Apostle Paul above Apollo, and he was trying to tell them, no, you don't do that. And we in that hour, we have to be careful. Are you following what I'm saying? The Corinthians was carnal-minded Christians. They were still allowing the outward man, they were still allowing their flesh to dominate them. And Apostle Paul was rebuking them and was trying to show them through the word, once you get born again, you got to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, let's keep it simple. Walking in the Spirit is you're in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit going to always bring you and I back to what is written. Do you hear me? Now, you got some people, they know the written word, which is another word for logos, but they don't know the God of the Spirit. That we now have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in what and how we supposed to conduct ourselves. But Paul was saying, even though y'all Christian, but y'all still allow y'all flesh to dominate you, to control you. And that's why Paul picked up in the book of Galatians, fifth chapter, he said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you sow to your flesh, and he even tell you, when you yield it to your flesh, you're going to find yourself in jealousy. You're going to find yourself in strife. Come on, somebody. You're going to find your all the stuff of fornicating. You'll find yourself doing all of that because flesh still crave things of the world. I hope you understand what we're saying. What I'm dealing with people that even though you've been born again, you still allow your flesh, the outward man, to dominate you, to control you when you have control over it. It's just like, you know, I know, like, you know, if you're fasting, my flesh will say, I want this, I want this, I want that. Now, hear the whine for a while, but if you just tell it, no, I'm not going to do it, you know. But Paul wanted them to see the danger of living according to the flesh. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to wrap this up with the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. And like I said, Paul started off in Romans, the 6th chapter. Like I said, do you good to go back and read it. Read it in a different translation. When Paul was saying, I got a problem. And have you ever noticed? Have you ever experienced, you know, God, I find myself when people mistreat me, I want to get mad and I want to say things ain't got no business. And you done pray, God, do something about this, do something about it. And God said, like he said to Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. What he mean is grace have the ability to keep you from not doing stuff. But we have to take what God says. And God's word said, get angry and sin not. Well, that means when you get angry, it's not a sin to get angry, y'all. Please hear me. It's not a sin to get angry, but it's a sin if you let anger control you. Better yet, dominate you, to cause you to do something like get angry and curse, get angry and you want to fight. And do, I have heard some saints say that, you know, now, honey, I'm saved, but I ain't forgot how to fight. Now, listen, please rightly divide what I'm saying. Whatever we do as born again, let the Holy Spirit lead you. God got angels. God got always many ways to take care of us. But we have to mature or grow to the point that we develop, that get the knowledge and understanding how to let God do what God do best. But now, if you want to take care of your problem, as we done talked about this for a season, how God is not going to override your will. And a lot of saints, they kind of mighty Christian. That's why every little thing get on your nerve. You don't know how to control your emotion. When people mistreat you, you want to curse. You want to fight. You is a kind of mighty Christian. Yeah, I know you might not like what I'm saying, but I'm telling you the truth. It's time out for letting your flesh, that's my flesh in your flesh, cause us, and flesh will cause us the sin against God. Flesh will cause us to cause other people to say, if that's being saved the way that, I don't want no part. Now, it don't bother me. If I hear about a sinner cursing you out, a sinner want to jump and fight and do foolishness, that don't even bother me at all. But when I hear saints cursing, when I hear saints still fornicate, saints I hear still drinking, y'all, something that disturbed me, because it shouldn't be. I know this good word. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that third verse, he said, moreover, brethren, I would not have you, would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our Father was under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spirit to meat, and did all drink the same spirit to drink. For they drank of that spirit rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But listen, look at the fifth verse. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they was overthrown in the wilderness. He talking about the children of Israel. They had everything that they need. But as an act of their will, they choose to rebel and disobey God. And Paul was letting them know, if y'all continue to allow your flesh to dominate you, to cause you to rebel against what God's word said, you're going to experience defeat. We got a lot of saints, some of them, or maybe a lot of them, or maybe some. Let me put it that way. They're being defeated as a Christian because the lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, and they still allow their flesh desires to dominate them when they don't have to, because they don't understand, I don't have a sin nature, but I still have my soul, which is my flesh. Come on, somebody. See, when we give to the word of God as born-again believers and say, I'm going to do what this word says because I can't do what this word, your flesh will come under, submit it, a year to it. Come on, somebody. And that's why it's so important. You have to get in the word and renew your mind. Come on, somebody. But once you give flesh a little inch, come on, somebody. Once you get flesh a little inch, it want to take the whole. And that's how the enemy come in. The enemy come through my eye gate and my ear gate. But I'm responsible to do something with what I see. And what I see, and it's always going to be contrary to what God's word say, I got to take control and say, you know what? Now, Father, I'm afraid about this situation. And I love something Kenny Copeland said. Kenny Copeland blessed me. I love his teaching. He blessed me when he was saying how he had prayed about a situation and how the enemy and how his thoughts want to continue to nag him about it. Well, let me give you an example. Have you ever had a situation and you prayed about it? Say you need money to pay a bill and you done prayed about it. Better yet, 1 Peter 5:7, you done rolled that care on the Lord. You done gave it to the Lord. But the outward man, that flesh, want to continue to torment you about it. And then the enemy comes, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Where you going to get the money from? Where you going to get the money from? And instead of you catching that thing down and replacing that thought, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to rich and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a tither. I done gave my tithe. And God said he'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. I done lend it to the poor. And God said he'll pay back with interest. Now, Father, instead of you open your mouth and decreeing, Father, I just thank you for rebuking the devourer for my sake. I thank you, Father, for supplying this need right now because you said you would do it. Father, I thank you when the time comes, the money will be there. I'm not going to entertain these thoughts. I'm a doubter. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope I'm trying to give you an example because, like I said, a lot of times, some people don't know when it's flesh and they don't know when it's their money. And I found out everything is not their money. A lot of it coming from your flesh desires. And that's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, before Jesus knew they was coming for him. But what Jesus did, before the hour of temptation, he prayed. And some of you read now. You is so tormented. You open the door, and the enemy is tormenting you in your mind about your situation. He tormented your mind, even with sickness and disease. I found out the enemy will torment you, even with little symptoms. You haven't had a certain symptom happen to your body? Say, for example, you might start having a stomach problem. The devil said, you got cancer. That thought will come. Oh, you got cancer. And if you start meditating on that thing, instead of catching that thing down and putting the word on that, and y'all, I'm telling you, this is so real. This is so real. If you, and this is what Apostle Paul was trying to tell them, and I don't think I'm going to have time to go through it all. I'm probably have to pick up on Monday if it's the Lord's will. But I just want to show you the Corinthians, they was carnal-minded Christians, even though they had been born again. But instead of them being consistent in renewing their mind, being consistent and walking in the Spirit, being consistent, it's casting down these imaginations. Don't you know doubt come in? If you and I are contrary, if we don't maintain by keeping my mind renewed and casting down these thoughts, doubt will come in, fear will come in, and guess what? Faith, your faith and my faith will not be affected if we let doubt. You know how fear come in? Through what we see and what we hear, contrary to what God says. Instead of meditating on what God word said about your situation. That's what I tell people. It is so important that we get in here and read this word. And once you read it, not only believe it, but trust it. You know that James said the devil believed and he trembled. And don't you know the devil believed that Jesus is the Son of God? He know God is the creator of all mankind. He know God have all the power, but he wants you and I to doubt all of that. That's why the Bible said the devil believed me tremble. Well, if the devil believe and I believe, what's the difference between his believing and mine? I trust God. I obey God. I identify myself with what God say about me. God, you said you supply all of my needs. Well, I'm not going to let my heart trouble. I'm not going to sit around here and worry about these little stuff. Well, how this going to take place? I'm not going to be double-minded. We got some saying they just a double-minded. I've been there. Them wavering. You just said one minute you believe God can, and the next minute you acting like God can't. One minute you said God hear you, and the next minute you talking sickness and disease all the time. You being double-minded. And the Bible said, when you double-minded, you're unsaved in all your ways. I had to repent back in. God, forgive me for operating in unbelief and doubt. Let unbelief, yes, I did. And I'm not the only one. Some of you out there right now, that's why you sit around depressed and stressed out, full of frustration because you done let unbelief and doubt get in. You believe, and I'm going to show you next week after the Lord let me continue in this here, I'm going to show you how the children of Israel, God had not did 10 things and showed them. He delivered Israel with a strong hand, but they still rebel against what God said. They were always mumming and complaining. They were doing what God told them not to do. Now, the only difference with them, Paul was using this to show you their carnality. This is what he was showing. They were so fleshly. Now, they didn't have what we have now. Other than what I mean, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And this is something that when God began to show me this, I was just so grieved. I just said, Lord, forgive me. I said, because in some areas of my life, I would let my flesh dominate me. I would let my flesh dictate to me. Just like Eve. Adam and Eve they didn't know anything about sin. But as an act of their will, they chew and they sin willingly. Well, y'all, let me tell you something. The same glory, the same anointing was on them, is on us. We do not have to yield to temptation. We can pray like Jesus did, and God will strengthen us to overcome it. But I'm telling you, you got to do something with your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. And when you renew it, once you yield to the will of God, whatever God said in his word, don't you know your emotion will come under subjection? Your emotion will come under. I don't care what people do to you, you can't forgive them. Now, no, God ain't telling you to let nobody run over you. It come a time that you have to stand. It's the old folks that flat-footed and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong. I'm not going to take. You ain't got to keep repeating yourself. But the point that I've been trying to get out for the end, this is my second week, talking about this, is stop allowing your flesh to dominate you. Stop allowing the outward man to dominate you. Know that I don't have a sin nature anymore. When anger, when bitterness and resentment knock at my door, when jealousy want to show up, I don't have to yield to it. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you, if you've been constantly allowing your flesh to dictate to you, it's like with eating. If I just been eating when and how much I want to eat, it's going to be hard to say no. Amen? But this is what he was saying. He was saying God was not pleased with them because a lot of them was overthrown in the wilderness. That sixth verse, I mean 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. It said, now these things was our example to the extent we should not lust. That word lust is a desire. That's the flesh. Flesh lusts after everything and want to do everything God said don't do. That's what happened to them. Now these things was our example to the intent. We should not lust after evil thing as they also lust. And that's what he was trying to tell the Corinthians. If y'all keep on yielding to y'all outward man, y'all flesh desire, you going to miss out on God's best. We got a lot of saints living beneath their privilege. Because a lot of them don't want to give tithes and offerings. No, yes, I'm just going to tell you. A lot of them don't want to forgive. Let me tell you something. When you walk around in unforgiveness, you hurt you. When you walk around lusting, letting your flesh dictate to you, you hurt you. And there's consequences behind it. Yes, you can be a born-again believer, and if you choose to sin, you can sin. You can override the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you know the Holy Spirit. He'll say, don't do it. Are you a sin? I shouldn't do this. But if you go on and do it, you're going to suffer the consequences. That's why I said grace is not a license to sin. But grace is a velvet with the ability to help you and I to obey. And that's what he was saying. Instead of them listening at Moses, they didn't listen. They rebelled against what he said. And all of us been guilty. You have the authority to cast down the thoughts that want you to go contrary, do these things that God telling you not to do. Because the more you let flesh, you can sit up and say, you know, I'm going to read my Bible. But if you let your flesh say, I just want to, I done did it before. I have stood up and said, you know what, this day I'm just going to watch TV all day. And I watch cowboy movie after cowboy movie. And then I watch the next day, I observe myself, let's watch a cowboy. The thought will come, look at this. No, we ain't doing it. See, since we don't have a sin nature, you can control your outward man. And I'm telling you, a lot of saints, they done yield to their outward man so long. The enemy wants you to believe, well, I can't stop cursing. I can't help myself the way I feel. I can't help. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, prophet, that ain't got nothing to do. Yes, it have everything to do with you walking in victory. And the enemy know that. That's why temptation, he used temptation to cause you and I to doubt God. And he banking on you being ignorant. He banking on you and I not to know, or banking on us not to read this Bible or read it and don't put it into practice. Yeah, you can believe these scriptures, but listen, it don't do you no good if you don't put it in practice. And it's time to tell your flesh, look, I'm the boss. That's the spirit. That's why the Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence. Listen, don't you know you can protect yourself from letting all of these thoughts and things come in that contrary to what God say? People always use me. If you listen at the Holy Spirit, they won't use you because he'll tell you when to do and when not to do or what to do and what not to do. And if you just yield to him, the ability will show up for you to do it. Well, my time is up. What you been talking about? I'm talking about stop allowing your flesh desires to cause you to sin, to cause you to rebel against what God says. You have authority over your outward man, the flesh desires that's contrary to what God said. You have the authority to stop it. Yes, you do. Yeah, we miss it, but that when we miss it, we repent. But I'm telling you, as long as you let the outward man control, you will never experience that abundant life that Jesus paid for. Now, we're going to go, if it's the Lord, we are Monday. We're going to go in a little bit more depth with this. But I tell you, when Paul found out that it's my flesh, even though I don't have a sin, that if when he took control over that, he began to walk in the victory and experience and see the manifestation that God promised him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for your word. And Father, I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding. Even as we go off the air, I trust that the Holy Spirit will continue to bring to remember and bring more enlightenment and understanding to that individual that truly want to do your will. You said to them that want to do your will, to them you reveal it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and thank you for tuning in, and I pray you continue to have a victorious, glorious day.